Our message this morning is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. Gospel Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for your abundance. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. I thank you for your word. And God, I pray this morning that we hear your word. God, that we hear your word, that we apply your word. God, that we live it out. God, that it transforms us and changes us, God. For those who are here, those who are listening online, God, and listen later on, God. God, I pray that we encounter your word and the Holy Spirit changes us, transforms us, renews us. And God, any distractions, any things that would pull our hearts, pull our minds away, God. God, that they would be cleared out the way and we would hear your voice. God, that I would communicate with clarity. And God, that we would hear your word. We would apply it. And God, that we would draw closer to you. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, starting in that first verse. And he began to teach by the sea. And a very large crowd gathered to him, that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. The whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And he was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Others fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun had risen, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop that produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as soon as he was alone, his followers with the 12 began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to this has been given the mystery, or to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are on the outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand, and otherwise might not return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and he takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the world, immediately they fall away. And others are ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and they accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be bought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed, is it not brought to be put out on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nothing has anything been secret, nor has anything been secret, but it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you beside. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. I've entitled my message this morning, Disciples Hear the Word. As disciples, we have to remember that we must hear the gospel repeatedly. Our understanding often fluctuates because we can become confused by the message the world presents. We accept Jesus into our lives, proclaiming him Lord, but that does not guarantee the absence of problems. We will still encounter struggles with sin, frustrations with difficult bosses or colleagues, disappointment stemming from dysfunctional families. We will encounter sickness and terrible things in our world that will impact our lives. However, when we have a deep familiarity with the gospel, it provides us a steady foundation to navigate life's challenges. We need to revisit the gospel regularly. We need to bathe ourselves in the gospel of who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives, because we tend to forget and easily become distracted or discouraged. The reality of difficult times is inevitable. Jesus himself warned his followers that they would face various trials. So how can we cope and continue to live for him? The answer lies in cultivating a deep understanding of the gospel by engaging with it repeatedly. We can remember and hold on to God's truths through tough times. Comprehending the future glory promised by Jesus equips us with the strength to persevere through our present struggles, through struggles that will come tomorrow, next week, or next year. But that can only take place when we have a thorough understanding of the gospel that keeps us focused on living a life devoted to God. We also recognize that we fall short because of our sinful nature. As humans, we are inclined towards carnal desires. And if we do not guard our heart, our senses, our touch, our hearing, our sight, we risk being tempted into sin. We acknowledge our own ability to be covetous and commit idolatry. I'm not saying that we're bound down to idols, but we begin to place things before God. We begin to value things in this world more than we do God. And then we become dissatisfied and envious of others who seem to possess more in terms of appearance, talent, success. But when we understand and have a solid grasp of the gospel, it empowers us to lead holy lives. And as we strive to please Jesus as disciples, we need to keep hearing the gospel every day. Our first point this morning is that God reveals himself to his disciples. So here, really, this is a continuation of chapter 3. Remember in chapter 3, the crowds are pressing in on Jesus. They are crushing him so much that he actually has to go out and get in a boat to begin to teach. And here, this is where we really begin. Chapter 4 is he's at the Sea of Galilee, and there's a large crowd. They've been pressing in on him, and he gets into a boat on the sea. Jesus has a floating pulpit. A lot of times we do really weird things with our pulpit. We have smoke, we have lights, and we do all these things to get people's attention. And here Jesus gets in basically, essentially, a floating pulpit to preach. But what's interesting is we know by looking at Galilee and the landscape there is that some of these places in Galilee, they function as natural amphitheaters because they would have the hill that would come down to the sea. And so it wasn't just like a flat. It was a hilly country, and a lot of these hills would come down into the sea. And so as the crowd sat, they were sitting on the hill, and you'd go up the hill and you'd have all these different people, but oftentimes the acoustics there were quite good. And so Jesus could preach from the boat and they would hear it. It would be like an amphitheater. He didn't need a microphone. The natural acoustics of the area would carry his voice. And he begins to teach them. And it says he taught them in parables. And he was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Listen. This is an important concept. Listen and hear these important concepts and what Jesus is teaching here in this parable. So God uses parables to reveal the gospel to disciples. Okay? So a lot of times how we read this typically is not really the correct. We tend to read this passage as what kind of soil am I? Am I good soil? Do I have rocky soil? Is my heart like the ground, or are there things choking out? That's not really the way that we should read this passage. So Jesus is using this parable to help to help the disciples understand the gospel, okay? So he's telling them, listen to this. It's kind of like in the Old Testament when they say, behold, it's the Hebrew word, hineh. And it's to get your attention. Hey, what I'm about to say is important. Listen to this. Verse 4 says, as he was sowing, he's using an agricultural image that they would have understood, okay? Oftentimes parables, they're not allegories, okay? But what they are is they're stories to illustrate points. Something more than what's being said. But they said he was sowing. So you have a farmer, he's out sowing and he's taking seed and it's falling on the road, okay? And then he's casting it on rocky ground. And he's casting it among other trees and other plants. The point here is that Jesus is, he's liberally, almost wastefully casting seed because you wouldn't cast normally from an agricultural, you're not going to go cast seed out on the road. Why? It's not going to grow, okay? You're not going to put seed in places that don't have good ground. You're not going to cast it in the rocky places because it won't grow. Not a lot of soil. Or you're not going to cast it in the places where there's a bunch of weeds because it's probably not going to grow. It's going to be choked out. There's already plant life there. But the point is that Jesus is almost, he's just casting seed everywhere. Why? Because he wants to get people in the furthest places, in the places that people don't expect, that people that are far away from God, that they are encumbered by the world and the things that are surrounding them. And so he's almost wastefully going to preach the gospel, but we're going to find out it's not wastefully. So he uses parables to reveal the gospel, the disciple, the truth of God. Okay. Now, what's interesting is that the world cannot understand the parables of God. Okay. Verse, now remember, he begins this. He kind of begin this parable. He says, the very beginning of verse 3, listen to this. How he closes out the parable is, he who has ears, let him hear. Okay. Listen to this. What I'm about to tell you is really important. Then when he closes it out, hey, make sure that you understand and hear and do what I just said because it was important. And then when he's with the disciples in private, his followers, the 12. Verse 11, he says, and he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now we hear mystery and we think it's something secret that we can't understand. That's not how mystery is used in the New Testament. Mystery in the New Testament is it's something that God is going to reveal, that God is going to make known. It might not have been understood previously, but God is going to disclose it to the world. And so the mystery of the kingdom of God is that God is revealing this new covenant through Jesus, that he wants to have a relationship with humanity. But listen, he says, but those on the outside get everything in parables. To you, my followers, disciples, follower of Jesus, you're going to get the parable, but then I'm going to explain it to you because I want to reveal God's plan and his purposes and what he's doing in this life. But those who aren't followers of Jesus, those who aren't disciples, they're just going to get the parable. They won't get the understanding. They don't have the keys to the kingdom, as it were. They have no way in. They're just on the outside. They don't understand what's going on. And there's something spiritual about this, okay? When you walk with Jesus, that you begin to understand the things of God. You begin to understand, you read scripture in a different light. I had a professor at North Central, and his testimony, he went down to Argentina to this revival. The guy had a PhD in New Testament studies. Smart guy, good guy. But he went down to Argentina and God just did something miraculous in him. And God got a hold of his heart and really stirred him up where he just had this passion for revival and to see people draw closer to God. And what he said is, he said, I used to read the Bible like a conservative Bible scholar. And he said, I read it correctly, but I didn't really understand what God wanted to do in my heart. And a lot of times, we can read scripture, we can understand it at its intended level, but we don't understand what God is doing or saying to the heart. That's what happens to the world. So parables introduce people to Jesus. The world, they don't get it, they miss it. And here's the point of this, okay? It's not about what kind of soil I am, okay? It's not about Jesus going away. Again, this sower is being wasteful. He's sowing seed in places that you would not sow seed. But the point of this is that the gospel will be preached. Jesus' disciples will preach the gospel everywhere, and it can't be stopped. The world will try to stop it. Look, he's saying here, he's going to say later on that they're, look, verse 8, they're going to have produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's an amazing. The crop just didn't double, it's increased 100 times. So even when it seemed wasteful that the seed was put here and put in places that it shouldn't grow, that it still produces a crop of such magnificence and abundance that it's supernatural. God is invading the kingdom of this world. The one where it says that God is that Satan is the God of this world, that he is trying to control and destroy how creation was made. He is going to invade that supernaturally, and it cannot be stopped. So when God reveals himself to his disciples, they are learning the gospel of what that means, how to live it out. My second point this morning is disciples will face difficulties. We love to hear that God wants to preach to us, that he wants to save us, that he wants to heal us, to deliver us. We don't want to hear about difficulties. But Jesus is saying, hey, I will reveal myself to you. We are supernaturally going to overrun the enemy's camp, but you will still face difficulties in this life. Verse 13, he says, do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? Okay. He says, the sower sows the word of God, okay? That Jesus, we're supposed to understand this, the sower is Jesus, and that we're supposed to become the sower, that we are putting the word of God out there. We are bringing it to our neighbors. We are bringing it to our friends. We are bringing it to our co-workers. But look what he says. We sow the word. Verse 15, he said, these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear it immediately, Satan comes and he takes away the word which has been sown in them. So, I mean, this is something that they understand. They understand that. Could you imagine a road? A road gets walked on, so the seed gets cast on the side of the road where it's not going to be trampled on so much, right? But who comes? The birds come. They come. Oh, this is seed. This is stuff we can eat, right? And they're stealing it away. But what he's saying is, beware of Satan, that he does not come and steal the word from you. Think about in the Gospels, we see Satan showing up. We see what he does in Genesis 3. He comes and he takes what God says and he twists it. He turns it. He does the same thing with Jesus. He says, did he not say that he will give his angels charge over you? And Jesus would say, well, yes, he did say that, but you're using it out of context. And this is what Satan does, is he comes and he takes the word. He twists it. He gets you to believe, oh, I don't necessarily need to do that thing, or I don't need to do it this way, or I can go back and I can do this, or I can go to church on Sunday. I can go to Bible study on Wednesday, but I can do these other things throughout the week, and they're going to work. So Jesus is telling his disciples, he's not telling people who aren't believers, he's not telling people who aren't saved, he's not telling a newcomer, he's telling people who've been walking with him, beware of Satan. He wants to steal the word of God out of your life. He wants to steal the truth that has been placed there. Verse 16 says, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on rocky places. When they hear the word immediately, they receive it with joy. They have no firm root in themselves and are only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises, they immediately fall away. They again, this is an image that they would understand, that it's cast on ground, but it never really takes root. They hear the word, they're excited about it. They're shouting about it. I'm saved. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm doing these things. And They're excited about it, but there's no depth there. And what he says is, beware of persecution. Disciple, beware of persecution when they begin to attack you because of your faith in Christ, when they begin to belittle you and come against you because of your faith in Christ. Do not let persecution drive you from abandoning your faith. Do not let persecution drive you to abandon your relationship with Jesus. So you have these agricultural images, and sometimes we run with the image saying, oh, well, you don't have root. No, and this is true, that we need to have deep roots of faith. But what Jesus is saying is, beware of persecution. Don't allow persecution to drive your faith away. Now, we don't see a persecution a lot in America. We might get ridiculed, we might get teased, but there's other parts of the world where they face really true persecution. There's parts of the world where they have to sneak into church. They have to have underground churches. They can be arrested, put in jail, beat, abused. Verse 18, and it says, others are ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. He's saying, beware of worldly concerns, okay? Yes, I know we have to work. I know we go to school. I know we do all these different things. We do not become saved. You don't get saved. Okay, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to join this Christian community where everything is Christian and I don't have any persecution and never come again. No, that's not the world that you live in. Okay, you are not yet in heaven. Okay. The earth has not been reestablished. The earth has not been made new yet. So you live in a world that will be hostile to you, okay? And in that world, there are things that will look attractive, that will seem attractive. And what they're going to do is they're going to test our allegiance to Jesus, okay? And sometimes we will begin to enjoy things, we will enjoy activities, we will enjoy ideas, we will enjoy working. Some of us, work begins to define who we are, it shapes who we are. And what happens is we allow that to begin to shape us more than the gospel begins to shape us. We allow that to shape us and give us a vision. And give us a worldview that is not necessarily Christian. So he's telling the disciples, yes, you've received the word, but don't let the things of this world, do not let making money is not bad. There's nothing wrong with even being wealthy. But when you begin to love wealth, desire wealth more than the things of God, it will choke out our love of God. So he says, beware of these worldly concerns, disciples. Our third point this morning is disciples are living examples. Verse 20. Then he tells them, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Okay? Again, the kingdom of God cannot be stopped. Then he goes on and says to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? He's saying, hey, if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple, you're a follower, you are a lamp to this world, okay? Now, a lamp in the biblical world, it was clay. It looks like one of those lamps that you kind of rub on and a genie might come out, okay? Or it's kind of a round thing and you put oil in there with the wick and the flame, and it doesn't produce a ton of light like modern lamps. But what they're saying is that the lamp gives light. Even these small lamps that were they had gave enough light to illuminate the room. And he's saying, as a Christian, you are a lamp, and as a lamp, you don't cover this up. You don't hide it underneath the bed. He's saying, let your light shine to the world around you. Don't hide it. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Be loud and proud about it. Don't hide it. Why? Because other people need to hear it. Those people who are on the side of the road, those people who are in rocky places, those people that we think might not succumb to saving faith, they need the example of our light, because not only are our words powerful, but so are our actions. Then he says, nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. He says, what he's saying is, yes, remember, the kingdom of God, mystery is something to be revealed, okay? And he's saying, God has revealed his mystery of the kingdom and the gospel of through Jesus Christ to you. Don't keep it a secret. It's a mystery meant to be shared. It's not like your favorite fishing hole. It's not me. Don't I can't tell people where my honey hole are, or people might go there and fish too, okay? Or this is my barber. He does a great job. I don't want to have to wait for 2 hours to get in to cut his hair. Don't keep it a secret. Your barber don't want to be kept a secret anyway. He wants you to tell everyone so he can be busy, okay? In the same way, God wants you to share the gospel. He wants you to live your life out to be an example to all people. Look what he says again, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, this is important. Take heed to this. Listen. Verse 24, and he was saying to them, take care that you listen what you listen to. Take care what you listen to. Are you going to hear my words? Are you going to hear the words of the gospel, or are you going to hear some other type of word? A word that will take your heart in a different direction, that will pull you in a different way. He's about your standard of measure. It will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. Disciples who truly hear the word are transformed. Okay? Disciples who truly hear the word are transformed. Okay? The words hear or listen are used, so it comes from the same Greek word. Okay? It's used over 10 times in verses 1 through 25. The point of this is make sure that you are hearing, okay? But it's just not audible hearing. It's just not that you receive the message. He's saying that you receive the message, you process the message, you live out the message. We have to hear the gospel over and over and over again. That we have to live it out. We have to let it take root in our hearts to change us, to renew us. Verse 25, it says, whoever has to him, more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away. Here's the thing. Disciples grow closer to Jesus while the world pulls further from God. Okay? When you hear God's message, when you hear the gospel and it transforms you, you draw closer to him. You begin to look more like Jesus. You begin to sound more like Jesus, that you get more out of it. But he's saying for those who aren't followers of Jesus, they will just get further away from God and further away from God. It's why we have to let our light shine. Because as we as disciples, we are living examples of the gospel.
Corinthians says that we are epistles known daily and read by all men, all people.
So here's our big idea. Hear the gospel and let it transform your life. Just don't hear it, okay? We hear a lot of things. We process a lot of audio information. That's not what Jesus is saying. When he says, hear, listen, you have words to hear. He's not saying, just don't audio, take this in an audio format. He says, let this word take root in your heart and transform you and change you. Hearing is active. It's a verb that is active participation, that you are actively hearing what God's saying and you're letting it transform you. You put it in your heart. The Holy Spirit begins to transform you, renew you, and make you. So here's the question: are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? I hope so. Being a disciple means that we choose to follow Jesus. We're not following the world. We're not following our own agenda. We're not following our own plan. Disciples follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is you are becoming like your teacher. You are becoming like your mentor. Become like Jesus. And here's the thing. If we follow Jesus, if we let his word take root in our heart, we really truly hear. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. It's like, he gives you gifts, and you take those gifts and you use them, and all of a sudden he's giving you more. He who is faithful with a little will be given more. Why can't I draw? You're like, hey, maybe I. Why can't I get closer to God? I try this, I try that, I'm struggling. Because we're seeing these things. Satan is coming against us. We're persecution. Worldly concerns are taking us over. Start hearing the word, living it out, letting the Holy Spirit do that work. You got to surround yourself. You have to almost marinate your life in the things of the gospel. And if you don't, we marinate meat to make it moist, to give it flavor, okay? And if you don't, sometimes that the meat doesn't it doesn't have the taste. It doesn't have the moisture in the same way. If you're a disciple and you don't marinate yourself in the gospel and in the things of God, we're not going to draw closer to Jesus. So hear the gospel and let it transform your life. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. And as disciples, we want to hear your word and be transformed, God. But God, I know there's a lot going on. We're pulled in every direction, God. We're pulled by worldly things and things that we struggle with. So God, I pray that you would transform us, renew us, that you would draw us closer to you. And God, we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.